Hello there, everybody. My name is Bea Bonner, and you're listening to Community Voices right here on NPR Illinois. Today, I am talking to electrician's mate, Second Class Laurent Azanadu, a member of Navy Reserve Center, St. Louis, Missouri. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm so excited to have you here. Now, we know you're not from Springfield, Illinois, but you grew up in Kontanu, Benin.
Yes.
And that's in West Africa.
Yes.
Tell us about your growing up.
I was born and raised in Benin, which is in West Africa, is between Togo and Nigeria. Mm-hmm. It's a small country. We don't have no political problem. So most of us don't travel that much. People know more about Togo, which is a smaller country, than Benin, actually.
Yeah. Well, tell us about Benin. What did you do growing up there? What was it like?
Life is pretty easy there. It's like every country in Africa. Mm-hmm. We are not rich, but we are happy. Mm-hmm. We seeking for opportunity all the time. So every young people growing up want to go overseas. We want to see the world because we learn about United States. We learn about France, about Canada, about all those. But everybody don't have a chance to get in an airplane. Mm-hmm. Everybody don't have a chance to get in an elevator. Everybody don't have a chance to get in the AC. So growing up, every one of us, we want to be a doctor, we want to be an engineer, because it's the only way to get out.
Yeah, make some good money, right?
Yes.
So what led you to come into the United States?
It was unfortunate or fortunate for me to come to the United States. I'm grateful to be here. I win a lottery. I win a lottery. They call it a diversity visa lottery. So it's open. It's on U.S. government website. Mm-hmm. 5 million people can play.
Wow.
And they will pick up, it's random, they will pick up 125 people.
Wow.
So I was one of lucky people who actually played that lottery.
You really got blessed.
Yes. I got selected. And then after you get selected, you still have to prove that you have a degree. You have to have at least a high school diploma or high school plus two at least. And then you still have to pay money to fill out every single form.
Wow.
In the immigration website. After you go through all that, you still have to find somebody in United States who will sign an affidavit. They call the paperwork. You sign that. That person will grant to give you food and roof till you get to your own. So it's how I landed to Springfield, Illinois.
Wow. So what was the journey like in coming to Springfield, Illinois? What did you think when you first got here?
Coming to United States, when you get a visa to come to United States, people say you are blessed. And then when you get a permanent residence, it's even better. So coming to United States, I had a big dreams when I was coming here, because United States, when you hear about it, when you are in my little country, you think that you get here and just get the dollar off of a tree.
No, it don't work like that.
No. And I came here, I didn't speak one word in English.
Wow.
I speak strictly French.
Well, so you had to learn English when you came here.
So I came to this country and I thought that I could speak English, because back home I was working for an international company. So all my report was in English. I could read, I can write. And I came here, the first person I talked to, I have no idea what he was talking about.
Oh my God.
So I get to the airport, I was lost. I'm like, okay, let's figure it out. But I come to Springfield and I work my way up, and today I'm grateful. I'm making it good. I learn English by talking to people and just by trying to get the culture. And yes, I'm here today.
They say that's the best way to learn, just by talking to other people and having conversation. It's better than sitting in a classroom or reading it in a book.
Absolutely. I would say what helped me the most was getting to the Navy Reserve. When I went to big boot camp, because when you go to boot camp, there is no boot camp for reservists and a boot camp for active duty. Boot camp is for everybody. So they don't treat nobody different. It doesn't matter where you come from. If you are able to pass the ASVAB, which is the test to get in the military, and you qualify for all the things, that means that you are capable like everybody else. So there is no language treatment, no, everybody go through the same thing. And that helped me a lot, because I was under pressure and I have my back on the wall. I have no choice. I have to success. So I pay attention. I look who is beside me And I just do like them, and I try to be the best of I can.
Yeah, it seems like you were. But, you know, what made you say, I want to go join the U.S. Navy Reserve? Because, it's, you know, when I was in high school, I considered going to the military or doing something. And I was like, I'm going to go to school. So what made you want to join?
So, you know, coming to the United States, it was a blessing. Mm-hmm. When I get to this country, I ask myself, what will be the best way to reward this country? To say thank you mm-hmm. to this country, because they allow me to come here. There is nowhere in the world where you come to the country and you can become a citizen. It doesn't exist. I came to the United States, and 9 months after, I have my citizenship.
Mm.
Less than a year in the United States, I have my citizenship. I didn't even know that it was the way it works. For me, joining the Navy was a dream. At first, because when I was a kid, I used to tell my friend that I will wear a uniform mm. and I will work on a ship. And people make joke of me when I was saying
Aww.
That. But, you know, I think when you dream and you dream big, God bless you. So when I came here, I look at my ways, the opportunity I have on mm-hmm. the table. I was too old to go active duty, actually.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. Can I still go? There was like, yeah, you can go Navy Reserve. And I'm like, you know what? I'm doing it. And I think it's one of the best decisions I have made in my life.
No, you were too old. You look pretty young to me, Laurent.
No, I was 36 when I joined the Navy.
What?
That was 10 years ago.
Oh my God. Listen. I need whatever genes that you have because you look very young. You look good. So
thank you.
I just congratulate you on that because not a lot of people, you know, have that mindset. Now, you talked about wanting to work on a ship. So what is it like working on a ship?
It's amazing. I would say the Navy Reserve or the Navy in general take care of his mm-hmm. sailors. They do take care of the sailors. You learn a lot. So whatever you want to do in your life, there is a way for you to do it in the military. Mm-hmm. People, when they think about the Navy or Air Force or whatever branch, they think about going to some hot places, shoot a gun. Mm-hmm. I've been in the Navy for 10 years and I barely touch a gun twice.
Wow.
Because I'm an electrician. I'm an engineer. I work on boat. I work on submarines.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a chance to see a lot of things that most of Americans have no idea that it doesn't even exist.
Yeah.
But I have a chance to see those things. So it's working in the community. It makes you stronger because you are part of a bigger picture. But you have your little thing you can do to help those big picture. So it makes you just feel proud. It makes you feel somebody.
Yeah.
And if you are lack of family, if you don't have anybody, you are orphan or something like that, the Navy can be a family for you.
Yeah.
Because there is always somebody looking at you. There is always somebody wanting to talk to you. And you meet so many people. Like, the diversity is amazing.
Yeah.
So if you meet anybody outside and their attitude is a little different, if you look hard, that person be in the military.
Well, not only are the people you meet that are diverse, but you get to go to a lot of different places. And I've heard you've been to Japan and Guam and Australia. What's one experience you've had abroad that's left an impression on you?
I would say I was really impressed by Asia mm. and Australia. Every time I go through Japan, I make sure that I have 9 or 10 hours layover just to go walk in Japan. Because this is a country where you walk, you can meet like 3,000-4,000 people mm. walking on the street and you don't hear nobody talking.
Really?
It's amazing.
I couldn't even imagine that.
Yeah. Like, I walk by a school and kindergartner kid outside playing and you don't hear no noise.
Mm.
Their culture is so different. I went to Australia and I see how they take care of their thing. I see how different it can be. It opened your mind so much. Is unbelievable how much you can see. And being in the military, I was at the airport in Peoria. I was flying from Peoria to Los Angeles and then from Los Angeles to Sydney. And the lady at the counter, she asked me, oh, you are in the military? I'm like, yes. She was like, oh, you have a long flight? I'm like, of course. And she was like, how many days do you have off when you get there before you start working? I'm like, I'm getting there on Monday mm-hmm. at 10 p.m. and I'm going straight to work.
Oh my gosh.
And she said, you know what? I'm moving you to first class. So I fly first class from Peoria all the way to Sydney.
Oh, well, that was an experience.
So I can't complain. I'm grateful.
Well, it seems like a good time. You get to see so many people, do so many things. And I can't wait till I travel more. I've only been to a couple places, but that's one of my goals in life, to really travel just to see what's outside of my view here. I think we all need a world view and a world perspective. So that's really cool.
Absolutely.
Well, I also want to ask you about what drives you to give back in this way. I mean, you mentor other French speaking immigrants, and that's a lot of responsibility outside of work. So what makes you want to help other people?
You know, I was born in Benin, which is a really small country, but I left my parents really early. Yeah. I left my parents after my high school diploma, and I went to Ivory Coast. I didn't know nobody there. Mm. But I just want to see the world. I was so hungry to travel, and I went to Ivory Coast. When I was leaving, I remember my dad told me, I'm not going to pay for nothing except for your school.
Yeah.
But I get there and I figure it out. People help me. All my life, somebody always hand something to me.
Yeah.
So when I get here and people are amazed how much fast I learn English, mm-hmm. because I always want to speak fluently English. So when I get here, I'm like, this is the opportunity. I take the opportunity. Today I can speak English. I can make a joke. I can talk about saying mm-hmm. all that stuff. So when I see people come here first and they're struggling, it just broke my heart. I will leave my family home and go help people out because I feel like it's a mission. And I feel like it's why I joined the military as well, because yeah. it's a mission and you have to serve. But serving is not serving yourself, it's serving over. And it's what I try to do.
Well, you're also serving the youth. I heard you have a nonprofit soccer league. Tell us about that.
Yeah, me and one of my friends, he was Date Emmanuel. He's in the Navy as well. Mm-hmm. He's PS2, personnel specialist. And he was a professional soccer player back home in Africa. And soccer is like a religion in Africa because we don't have that much. When you are a kid in Africa, you have to be an engineer. You have to be a doctor. Mm-hmm. Because you make your own toys. Nobody gonna buy you a toys. No. You make toys over boxes, over can. Mm-hmm. So when we came here and we have all those public parks who have like field to play soccer, and we see the kid have the need. They want to play, but after they get to high school, after high school where they can play in some team, they don't have no support. So me and him, we get together and we were like, okay, let's get the kid together and let's train them for free. And it's what we do. We're trying to put the team together. It's really hard to do it because, you know, after high school, the kid want to go to college. Yes. They want to start making money. They want to buy a car. But it's a dedication. When you have the need, you have the want to do it, you will always find a way to get on that route and do it. So yes, we do it. And we're doing pretty good. We have like 12 and younger. Mm. We have 14. We have different team and we play every day. 3 times a week, I think, during the summer. During the winter is a little harder because you have to find a place to play. You have to pay for the indoor. It's pretty harder, but during the summer we do more.
Now, Laurence, are you all competing?
We try, but to get in a league here is pretty hard, and they require so many players. But we play friendly game. Mm-hmm. But I think that with the dome coming up really soon, it will be better because now we have more team coming to us. We won't have to travel, so it will make it easier.
Well, I'm cheering you guys on. I can't wait to see you play at the Dome.
Thank you.
Well, we're running out of time here, but I did want to ask you, how has Springfield become home for you and your family?
The town I was living when I was in Abidjan, because I live in Abidjan, which is Ivory Coast. I lived there for almost 13 years before I come to the United States. It's like Chicago. So when I first come to Springfield, the reason why I came here first was because of my sponsor was living in Springfield, and I came here and I was depressed because it was so calm, nothing. But I get used to it. I get used to it so bad that I can't live anywhere else than Springfield, Illinois. And I love it. I love the weather. You don't like it? Just wait 5 minutes. You will get another one. So, yes.
I feel the same way. I grew up in Chicago, and it was a little different when I moved to Springfield. But now I love it. My husband loves it. And he grew up in a very small town. So Springfield is kind of perfect for us.
Yes. It's in the middle. It's not too big. It's not too small. And if you want to see a big city, you just have to drive to St. Louis, or you have to drive to Chicago, but you come back home and it's calmer. So
I like that about it. Well, Laurent, before you get out of here, what advice do you have for immigrants or young people considering going to the military or just doing something different with their lives?
I think going to the military is a blessing. Some people don't like it. So everybody have different experiences. Mm-hmm. But the one thing I learned about military, most of the kids around here, when I see after the high school diploma, they will go to college because they want to get away from the parent. And that mistake they make cost them $80,000 to $100,000,
yes,
and 2 years of their life. And sometimes you can never catch back on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have that debt, now you're draining. But when you go to the military, guess what? You're going to learn something.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to earn respect. You're going to learn discipline. And then if you don't like it after 4 years, come back home. They will pay for your school.
Yeah.
So there is nothing to lose going to the military. No matter what branch you go to, you will always learn something. And I think that discipline is the most important thing military give you. And when you keep that discipline in your life, it can change your whole perspectives.
I agree. And now you've almost convinced me to go. Well, Laurent, I just want to thank you again for taking time to share your story. I think it's very inspirational, very heartfelt, and I can tell that you really enjoy what you do. So thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
If you missed part of today's show, you can listen again tonight at 10 p.m.